Can you hear me?
I can hear myself. What a wonderful time of praise and worship that was. Today, as John has mentioned many times, we're going to be looking at Jesus and joy. And it's one of my favourite topics, joy. So, I want to apologise up front. We're going to be looking at John 14, 15 and 16. But we're going to be reading it from the New King James Version. One, because I think it's more meaty. And two, the letters are bigger. So, Jesus and joy. Before we can actually get to the readings, we need to see how do we get from Jesus to joy in the fall. And I think to do that, we need to see and truly see who Jesus was, who Jesus is, and always will be. We need to have a look what joy is and how do we get it. Now, from time to time, the Lord will bring somebody before you, or you'll hear from somebody that actually inspires you. And for me, that person recently was Peter Jackson. Now, I don't know about you, I'm speaking from my own personal experiences, but I always believed in Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit. And as Peter Jackson said whilst he was here, he believed that Jesus was the Son of God, the Holy Spirit was living within us, telling us all truths, but God the Father was always up there on the cloud, revered, which is right. But whenever I truly wanted to confess a sin, or, you know, ask for forgiveness, or speak to the Father, I always felt that I was cowering behind Jesus, and Jesus was speaking to the Father for me. I never really got my head around that God the Father wanted a personal relationship with me. And it was as if when Peter Jackson spoke, he was the man that God used to flick the switch. And I had such a craving to go home and read the chapter he spoke on, which was John 14. And every day that week, I mulled it over in my mind. And God revealed so much to me in that chapter that I never saw before. And it was like the light switch had been turned on. So I just want to say that to get from Jesus to joy, I believe, is a three-step process. Step one, we have to believe. So we're going to read, or I'm going to read, chapter 14 through to to verse 9. And it goes like this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Now, in order to understand what we've just read, we need to go back to the end of chapter 13. Picture the scene. Jesus has just shared the Last Supper with his disciples. And whilst they're reclining, he stuns them by saying to the 12, one of you 12 is going to betray me. You can almost picture the scene. You know, is it me? Is it me? Is it you? Who is it? And at this time, Judas has gone. Peter then says the empty remark to Jesus, Lord, I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus has replied to him, before daybreak, you will disown me 3 times. So you can almost imagine what it would have been like in that room at that time. Doubts, disbeliefs, fears. Jesus is actually giving them probably more than a pep talk. He knows that within hours he'll be dead. And he has got to explain to these men that he is going to die and that they are to carry on his mission. But they are so unprepared. So he goes on to say, let not your heart be troubled. Now, it seems so ludicrous that on one hand he's already told them that you're going to betray me, you're going to disown me 3 times. But he then says, don't worry about it. I've got it already sorted. And he had. He was telling them that he was going to return to his Father and that they know where he is going and also know the way. Now, Jesus, but then Thomas, as typical of Thomas, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And then in the next sentence he says, he actually concludes by saying to the guys, I am. And I'd never seen this before. I'd read it so many times. And the light had just come on. Jesus was actually saying to his disciples, I am God. One other place in the Bible, and you probably all know it, was where Moses at the burning bush, speaking to God himself, says to him, who shall I say has sent me? And God says, I am who I am. Tell them, I am has sent you. And Jesus is now saying to his disciples, I am. He couldn't, if he'd have said, I am God, he couldn't have put it any clearer. I am the way. All of the other I ams conclude in what Jesus is saying here. I am the fruit, I am the vine, I am the bread of life, I am the resurrection, I am the life, I am living water. All of these come together in what he is saying. I am the truth, the way, and the life. And still we get Philip saying, Lord, show us the Father. Show us a miracle and that will be sufficient for us. You could almost see Jesus doing this. How much more do I have to say before they will believe? And he goes on to say, you have seen the Father. I have done nothing that I have not seen my Father do. I have not said anything that my Father has not told me to say. He had to get them to understand that everything he had done on this earth, he had done what his Father had told him to do. He had said everything that the Father had told him to say. And so, he goes on, as he started, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Please, believe in me. Because if they do not believe that Jesus is who he says he is, or Jesus can do what he said he can do, then his mission is finished before it started. They had to believe. And that's the same for us today. We are no different to the disciples back then. We have times of doubts. We have times of trouble, darkness. Lord, are you there? I want to believe that you are there. Help me to believe. So what does he do? He's telling them that he's returning to his Father. But I'm not going to leave you alone. Don't worry about it. They're probably thinking, well, what are we going to do? If you return to the Father, are you coming back? What? What happens now? And Jesus then says to them, I am going to pray to the Father to send you a helper, the Holy Spirit. Or as John originally wrote, the Paraclete, which I think is a beautiful word, the Paraclete. And the word Paraclete, broken down, means para, to walk alongside. Klete means to call. So Jesus is calling the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the person who is going to draw alongside these disciples. He's going to be their helper, their advocate, their comforter, their companion, sent by the Father and by the Son to live amongst these frail men who are doubting, who feel hopeless. And when the Paraclete comes, he will reveal all truth. So everything that Jesus had talked to the disciples about and explained that they, at that moment in time, they didn't understand, they'll be able to say, oh yeah, do you remember when Jesus said so and so? Oh yeah, I remember that the Lord said that would happen. He's already told them in advance what is going to happen, and the Holy Spirit will reveal that truth to them after he has died, after he has been resurrected, and then at last they will believe. And we have that today. The Holy Spirit is still alive, still active, still speaking the truth of Jesus in our lives today. He will never forsake us. He will never turn his back on us. He will never lie to us. But we have to believe. And that's the first part, the first step. We have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is part of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But that isn't enough believing. We also have to abide in Him. So as we look at John 15, we're going to read through from 1 to 7 or 8. And it says, that great verse again, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Sorry. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and are burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. So Jesus has now told the disciples that he is off to see his dad. But he's not leaving them alone. He's sending the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will tell all truth about him. But we now, or the disciples then, had to abide in him. So, when we abide in the Father, and in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit, we are one. But the things of the world that draw us away from God, those things went on then. We're nothing new. We're not seeing things happen today that has never happened before. The disciples in their time had homosexuality, lusting, adultery. They had everything that we have today. Probably more so. And Jesus was saying to them, you need to focus on me and on the Father through the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you'll become just like the Pharisees. You will become just like the other people out there that don't know me, that don't want to know me. You must abide in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. We can go to all of the services we want to go to. We can be at 3 services a day. We can go to a meeting every night. We can go to a seminar every weekend. But if we don't do it because of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a waste of time. As the Bible tells us, all of our good deeds, if they are not done in love, they are nothing but filthy rags in the eyes of God. But if we abide in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, if our relationship with Him blossoms, grows, so much so that we can do nothing without Him, He becomes the very air that we breathe, then we will do all of these things anyway. But we will be doing it out of love. And the picture that we see here is a triad of love. We see God the Father loving the Son. And the Son loving the disciples. And Jesus is now saying to the disciples, you must love one another. And we're not talking about a kissy-kissy sort of love. We're talking about a hard love. A love that when one brother is down in the dumps or one sister is hurting so much, but we might not like that person, we've got to knuckle down and love that person. God isn't saying to us, or Jesus isn't saying to us, well, I want you to be nice to so and so. I know that you love him because you like him. That ain't it. These disciples were hardened fishermen. They weren't open to lovey-dovey. Oh, I love you, Peter. Oh, aren't you the best, John? They weren't used to that. Jesus taught them how to love by actions. And he's now saying to them, you have got to love him. Whether you hate him, like him, loathe him, whatever, you have got to love him. Love him with the love that I have loved you with. That the Father has loved me with. And we've got to do that today. So when we see people coming towards the doors and we're thinking, he looks a bit of a shady character. I'm not really going to want him in here. That's got to go out the window. These are the types of people that Jesus wants us to love. And it's going to be hard. And we cannot do it unless we are walking with the Lord. So the threesome, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, must become a foursome. It must be Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and John. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Joe. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and George. The three must become four. Doesn't matter what your neighbour's doing. Doesn't matter what your neighbour's walk with Jesus is like. It's what your walk with like is. What your walk with Jesus is like. It's an intimate relationship that is only yours and yours alone. You can't walk the same. I can't walk the same as Joe. His relationship with Jesus may be totally different to my relationship with Jesus. Ain't got nothing to do with me. What's my relationship with Jesus like? We can't live according to how somebody else is living. We have got to abide in Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, in with the Father, all as one. Because he says it there, apart from me, you can't do anything. We can try in our own strength. I have tried so many times in my own strength and fallen flat on my face. But when we hand it over to the Lord, we can do anything. Or he can do anything through us. So firstly, we must believe that Jesus can do what he says he can do. Secondly, we've got to live, walk, breathe, talk, sleep, eat, everything with him. We can't just have a quiet time for 10 minutes in the morning and then think, right, I've spent time with the Lord today. Let's see how the day pans out. And then you forget all about him till the next day. Don't work that way. There is absolutely nothing wrong with any of us going out for a coffee break at dinner time or a coffee break in the morning and the afternoon and opening your Bible. Pray to him. Talk to him whilst you're driving. Don't take your eyes off the wheel or off the road. But sometimes that's the best place to talk to the Lord. Whilst you're driving to your destination, speak to him. The person in the car might think, ooh, he's a bit of a weirdo. Look at him talking to himself. I've done it before. Thank God for mobile phones. But doesn't matter. I've got over thinking, well, what's so-and-so part of the light thinking of me as I'm praying to the Lord? Don't care anymore. We have to spend time with the Lord all day. Pray, thank Him for what He's done for you before you go to sleep. It's all about that intimate relationship between you and the Lord. Abide in me. Abide in me. And the question now is, what is joy? What is joy? I've spoken about this before now, and it's not happiness. We shouldn't mistake it for happiness. Joy, happiness. Happiness is momentary. We all want to be happy, but it's momentary. The joy that I'm talking about is something that is there all of the time. We can have it any time. It doesn't just come and go, unless we allow that. Joy is ours all of the time. And if I can just find my notes. No, I can't. I can't think of the name of the chap. But Fredrickson, who wrote a commentary on the book of John, he says this: joy is an unexpected gift that comes out of our intimate relationship with the one called Jesus Christ. Joy is the unexpected gift that comes out of our relationship with the one we call Jesus Christ. So, once we believe in Him and we choose to abide in Him, this joy comes. And we haven't asked for it. But it just comes. And as we look at Jesus, why did He go to the cross? One, because He was obedient to the Father. That was what He came for. He knew that. And, you know, thinking about it, he could quite easily have said, don't like that George Jones. I don't know if I want to die for him. But I will anyway. You know, He died for my sins. My nastiness. My hatred. My anger. My dirtiness. He paid the price for me. Why? Because the devil, in his audacity, came into the Garden of Eden and lied. He's a liar. He's a stinking, dirty liar. And he spoilt it for everybody else. That's what the devil's ultimate goal was. To rob mankind. To steal them away from a relationship with the Father. And Jesus came to die for our sins simply because of the joy that was set before Him. And Jesus' joy was us. It was us. That was the joy set before Him. So much so that He was ready to go to the cross and pay the price to win us back from the devil. And as we have a relationship with Him, an intimate relationship, the three becoming four, that joy, that unexpected gift is ours. How do we get it? This is the third step now. How do we get it? We ask. Simple as that. No special formulas. No, E equals MC squared, no logarithms, no special things we've got to do. We ask. Jesus tells us categorically, chapter 16, verse 24, "Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." I love that. I love that. Ask. "Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Beautiful. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, reveal to me the 6 numbers for the lottery on Saturday. And I promise I will give £50,000 to Mount Chapel. I will send money over to those who need it in Africa. I will do this. I will do that. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I will do. But please give me those 6 numbers. Do you think I will get an answer, a positive answer towards that? Maybe. God can do anything. There's nothing to say that I will not do those things that I have promised to do. But I know in my heart that I won't win that. God will not do that for me. Not because he's nasty, not because he doesn't want to. "I'm not going to give you that money, I can do it without you anyway." But he knows, and I know, that if I was to win the lottery, I wouldn't need him. And I'm being honest. I know in my heart that if I won the lottery, my eyes would not be fixed on God. And if I know that in my heart, how much more does God know? But if I prayed, "Lord, I have a sister who is bent double under stresses and strains. Lord, she's not walking with you at this moment in time because she doesn't think that you are there. Lord, help her." I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will go and put your arms around her. And Lord, I am going to pray this every day until I know that she has turned the corner. I know that my prayer will be answered. Why? Because I'm praying in love for my sister. And I know that I'm praying for the right reasons. And I know that my God hears. And I believe that my God will answer. And I know that in my heart. So we need to ask. Jesus's atoning death will revolutionize the praying of these disciples. All through Jesus's earthly ministry, they have asked all kinds of anxious, earthy questions to satisfy their curiosity or their needs. But they have not asked in his name because they didn't need to, because he was there with them. But now, when they, after the Holy Spirit has come and Jesus has returned to the Father, they are told to ask in his name, through the Holy Spirit, for everything they need. And they are to ask confidently. Not, "Lord, if you feel like it, can you provide me with bread for today?" No. They can come out and say, "Lord, I need bread for today." And they can know that they will receive it. Because God will provide everything they need. Just as he does for us today. They are changed people. Just as we are changed people. Having known Christ in our lives. So I ask you again, what is the joy? And I personally, and this is my thoughts only, I believe that the joy is anything you need it to be. I believe the joy of the Lord is anything you need it to be. If you're downhearted, if you're downtrodden, if you are bending double under stresses and strains, Lord, I cannot get through this, please strengthen me. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. If you're at a crossroads in your life and you're thinking, Lord, which way am I supposed to go here now? I'm being told to go down this road, or is it this road? Lord, I need your guidance. The joy of the Lord will be your guidance. If you've got things being thrown into your mind and you don't know which way to turn, Lord, please give me your peace that passeth all understanding. The joy of the Lord will be your peace. Whatever you need to get through in life, you ask for it in the name of Jesus, and the joy of the Lord will be whatever it is that you need. And that's what I believe. You may not believe that. You may think it's something else. But you know, that's the beauty about the Lord's Word. Half a dozen of us could read a particular passage, and half a dozen of us can come up with a totally different understanding of what they've just read. But it doesn't mean that they're wrong. You know, the Lord will reveal to each and every one of us what He wants to reveal to us from a particular passage. And I believe that the joy of the Lord is whatever you need it to be at that particular time in your life. So if you need strength, pray to the Lord for strength. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength. If you need guidance, if you need provision, the joy of the Lord will be your provision. So I want to encourage you today. The three steps between Jesus and joy is, one, we have to believe. We have to believe that Jesus Christ is who He says He is and can do what He says He can do. Two, we must abide in Him. Because apart from Him, we can do nothing. And I'm sure we have all tried that in our own strength and failed miserably. And three, we need to ask. We don't get anything if we don't ask. And if we ask in love, then I can't see the Lord saying no. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to say again that You are the be-all and end-all. We thank You, Father God, that You so much wanted a relationship with Your children. You wanted to be part of our lives, so much so that You sent Your beloved Son Jesus to die on the cross, so that each of us can have that personal, intimate relationship with You. And Lord Jesus, when you returned to the Father, wonderfully, gloriously resurrected, even then You were thinking of us. And You sent the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one that You called to walk alongside us. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You do. Thank You that You dwell within each one of us and You speak the truth. And above all, Lord, You want that relationship with us. That You want the three of You to become four with us. Help us to abide with You, Lord, so that we can receive Your joy and receive Your joy to the full. Whatever we need, Lord, I pray that You will meet that need. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray.